Welcome to Press This, the WordPress community podcast featuring exclusive content and interviews with leaders in the WordPress community, covering everything from development to integrating your digital marketing strategy with WordPress. Join host David Vogelpohl of WP Engine and special guests from across the community as they keep you up to speed on the latest advancements in WordPress. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on Webmaster Radio. I'm your host, Stephen Word, and I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This. As always, don't forget, you can subscribe on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or download latest episodes on Webmaster Radio at webmasterradio.fm/shows/press this. For this show, I'm happy to interview WordPress core contributor and full stack open source developer, Ahmed Alweis. How's it going, Ahmed?
Well, glad to be here. I'm doing great. How are you, Stephen?
Very good. So Ahmed and I have known each other online through WordPress core work for a couple of years now. This is actually the first time that we're ever getting an opportunity to speak with each other. So it's a very exciting moment for me. Also, normal host David Vogelpohl is out today. So this is my first podcast. Also very excited about that. So we've asked Ahmed to come today and speak to us about open source. He has some pretty bold claims that I read about on his blog, such as that he has never used a scrolling marquee or Comic Sans in his designs, which already distinguishes him from so many developers in the space. Matt is a longtime blogger, a TEDx speaker, an award-winning developer. He has worked on the WordPress default 2016 theme, the REST API, and many other projects, and is currently dedicating over 30% of his time to open source. So Ahmed, I think that let's start off with the question that we ask all our guests. What is your WordPress origin story? How did you get started in WordPress and open source?
Yeah, so for that, I have to take you back to, 2005. Throughout my career, I have worn many hats, and I've been a blogger for 15 years, and I've been a marketer. I marketed a movie to be the most voted movie on IMDb in 2013. So I have that kind of, background. But I got extremely serious about development after, a unique set of events. So I blogged about how you can create a PHP-based contact form back in the day. That was like, using progressive web apps at that time. So that post got picked up a lot, and I got several clients through that post, and I started building, my own CMS so that I could deliver a better content form-based website to my clients. And naturally, while searching back in 2007, I ended up finding this incredible plugin called Contact Form 7. Not many people know this, but the 7 in Contact Form 7 is because it was launched in 2007. So at that time, it was a genuine aha moment for me. It was like, having a GUI-based tool for building React.js-based websites. That could be an awesome idea right now. At that time, Contact Form 7 felt to me like that kind of tool, because I was able to build, take entries and do all sorts of cool stuff with, Contact Form 7 back in the day. And it was pretty cool at that time. So that was how I basically got introduced to this, awesome WordPress open source community and the software. And from there on, I became a front-end developer, got serious about back-end development. And for like last 10 years or so, I have been contributing to open source projects related to WordPress. I have like 500,000 people have downloaded my plugins, and I have contributed to like every single major release in last for the last 10 major releases, I guess. So that's my story.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's not a small feat. It sounds like you've been working on this for over 12 years. It's interesting to hear of your journey all the way from a PHP contact form plugin, and then to where you're doing today, where you're contributing to WordPress itself, public speaking. That's all. It sounds like it's been quite an incredible journey for you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So now, now that you are here with me today, 12, 13 years later, You know, do you remember what was going through your mind back in 2005? You know, what drew you to open source in the first place?
I'm an electrical engineer. So I was studying electrical engineering, and I used to, you know, attend the software engineering classes, and I even attempted their exams as well, because I was extremely interested in the world of software technology. At that time, being a student, getting into proprietary software was very hard. You know, the cost of licensing alone, you know, alienates a lot of students. And in my mind, even now, right now in 2017, I can tell you open source means for developers that it's fun. It is a fun thing that you are doing on the side. So at that time, open source was a little fun thing to do. I was working with Joomla and Drupal. And we all know what happened to those CMSs. But I think I love open source because it was cost effective to me and as well as to my clients back in the day. And it's even true right now. So it helped me do a lot of things in a different way. For example, I'm not going to name the names here, but I remember we had this PHP CMS in our university, which was a closed source proprietary software. And I happened to stumble upon this security patch on it, and I tried to submit it on the weekend. So I met so many closed doors. I had to, you know, go through. I had to first of all, I had to wait for a working day to arrive. So on Monday, I had to wait for the QA team. Then after their approval, I had to wait for a lot of more jargon that wasn't really needed to, you know, fix that particular thing which I was trying to fix. On the other hand, in the WordPress community, I was using this small set of plugins, and I ended up, you know, fixing a lot of things all out of, you know, mere frustration or anything. And it didn't, you know, basically I could patch anything on my own time. And I do not have to look for approvals from QA teams and that kind of stuff. And that at that time sounds pretty cool. And it also reduced a lot of duplication of effort. So that's basically how I got into open source. And I think if you ask me why I'm sticking with open source, then it's basically because of these three reasons that I just mentioned. I think open source software has happened to build lots of community around it. Every single successful open source software is all about the community, and it is all about the transparency. And those two things I care a lot about right now.
Yeah, in this day and age on the internet, it's those are things, some principles that, you know, I also identify with. I think it's really interesting that, you know, you got your start because the barrier to open source was lower than it was with closed source. And then there was also like an economic aspect of it. And I think it's kind of incredible that, you know, you basically found some software to contribute to without all the challenges that are in a closed source project. And then, you know, also had a low financial cost to get started. And now you're, you know, supporting yourself, and you have, did you say 100,000 downloads over your plugins, or was the number bigger than that? I'm sorry if I missed that.
500,000.
Wow, so 500,000. That's pretty incredible.
I'd say that's just the power of open source software.
Yeah, that's and do you get a lot of contributors back on that? Do you see like that reciprocated, people giving back to your projects as well?
Yes, I did mention that it is a reduction of duplication of effort. Same thing I have to fix. I get a lot of contributors to do that for me. For example, I have this project called WPGulp, through which you can, you know, start having some sort of build tools in your WordPress plugin or WordPress theme, whatever you are building. So as you know that ECMAScript 6 is the new JavaScript is all the new deal right now. So it didn't accommodate like ES6. I was recently thinking about it, that I should, you know, somehow make it compatible with ES6, and I just got a pull request. So I just right before this interview, I was looking at that pull request and thinking about merging it. So it is a reduction of duplication of effort. That is a biggie.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that it's, let's take a quick break and let's talk more about that when we get back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorgedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorgedigital.com.
Book lovers and hundreds of compelling contemporary authors are heading to Miami for the 34th annual Miami Book Fair, Friday, November 17th through Sunday, November 19th. See in person amazing authors, including Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Al Franken, Russell Banks, Michael Eric Dyson, Armistead Maupin, Angela J. Davis, Scott Turow, Walter Isaacson, and many more. The 34th annual Miami Book Fair. For more information, visit miamibookfair.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Let's press forward with more Press This, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to Press This. I'm your host, Stephen Word. Before the break, we were speaking with Amado Weiss, a open source aficionado, a full stack developer, and longtime WordPress contributor. We were just talking about what he loves about open source, some of the benefits, the barrier of entry. And right before the break, we were talking about exactly what he loves about it and the reciprocation of effort that you see when you actually make your code available to other people. 500,000 downloads. I still can't get over that number. That's really incredible. I guess that leads me into my next question, something that maybe some other out there are wondering as well, is that if you give your software away for free, is there a monetary feedback? Is there a way to make money in an open source project?
Well, that's a tough one. Honestly, it's a tough one. You go on and ask any open source developer about the economic aspect of it, and you'll see them stumble upon it.
Let's start off.
Let's start at the beginning.
Like, is it? Do you feel that it's actually possible to make money in an open source project versus having a closed source programming task?
It's obviously possible to make money with open source software. I tell people whenever I go and talk on a conference, I tell people that I contribute 30-50% of my time, my productive time, to open source, and they look at me like, dude, how are you living and how are you paying for the bills? So I often end my talks with, not everything I do is free. Free in open source is not as in beer. It is free as in air. It's free. The licensing is free. Using it, maintaining it, building upon it is not free. So there's this huge concept here. Anywho, let me just talk about the monetary aspect of open source economy through my perspective.
Okay.
When
yeah,
I started back in the day, when I started back in the day, living in Pakistan, and it's like way too far from the U.S. Community, and WordPress community is quite strong in the U.S. I didn't know how to market myself to get clients from the U.S. because obviously U.S. clients had better projects, they paid well, and obviously it was what I wanted to do, and any developer. Where I was 10 years ago would want to do. So what I started to do was this fun little project. I started to call out my clients that I started to, put a condition in my, whatever you call your freelance contracts, that whatever I build for you, you will be the first user of it, but I'm going to open source it. that is the only way you can get to work with me and I can get to work with your project.
Did you get any pushback from them on that?
Oh, a lot of pushback. So they said, show me something that you have built in. Who is doing that? And that kind of stuff. So I did get a lot of pushback. I remember that I was almost broke when I got a project from this client of mine. It was an enterprise client from Qatar. But before that, I was trying to figure things out. But now I can, kind of give you a roadmap on how I ended up figuring things out. I started open sourcing my code. That was it. This is the key to, building an open source portfolio. It's really hard and it looks really simple that, anyone can, do that. But it's really hard to really open source your code. When you open source your code, you have to manage it. You have to maintain it for like 4 to 5 years after that. You have to document it because people start bombarding you with questions, what is this code doing? With? And then you start to learn coding best practices and that kind of thing. You start to have to, you get an idea about how, you manage a code base with collaborators. It teaches you a lot of things. For example, right now, more than 10,000 developers are using over 70 open source software projects that I have built, and they're all out there on GitHub, on my GitHub profile. So having that kind of portfolio, having 10,000 more, over 10,000 developers depending upon your code, builds you a bit of a rapport in the community. And through that, I kind of end up convincing my clients that look, this is the community that depends on my code, and you cannot just throw a project at me and ask me to not open source it. So now it basically comes given with whatever I work on is going to be open source. And that is basically many other open source developers in the WordPress community are working. Either you get to contribute back to the WordPress software, to the REST API, to the customized component, or to the awesome Gutenberg project right now. Or either you just build something for a client.
I was just going to say that's really interesting that you when you were getting your start, that you had to basically pitch and convince your clients that this is good for them and that it actually makes better software to re-release the things that you're working on, even stuff that you're being paid for. That's something that I would imagine is a little hard for them to wrangle with. Do you feel that now it's been several years later that you encounter that less? Are people adopting this open source mentality, or do you still find yourself struggling to communicate that sometimes?
I don't think so. I think the open source community is growing at a really fast pace. I have a really good example here. I even talked about it in the last meetup. I used to develop with Microsoft's tools back in the day, like 15 years ago. And I used to, we used to buy this proprietary MSDN library API reference that nobody, really uses right now. And I used to give this example that Visual Code was the biggest, compiler or IDE back in the day, and it is nowhere to be found nowadays. But guess what? The huge giant companies started to look at open source code differently. I personally think that WordPress taught them how to do open source right. Yes, there's an entire history of Linux and Git and all that, but I think so WordPress is teaching other software communities how to do open source right. You see, Apple has just, in the last few years, they have open sourced their language, Swift language. And Microsoft has started building this awesome code editor called Visual Studio Code. And I'm personally right now in the process of moving away from Sublime and Atom, and I'm trying to adopt Visual Studio Code. If you asked 1 year from, if you asked a year back from me that if I would be using a Microsoft editor in 2017, I would have clearly said no. But why I'm doing that is because they have built this awesome JavaScript-based open source IDE that, I could contribute to, and I do contribute to it. It's pretty awesome, and community cares about a lot of things. A lot of workflows get improved overnight just because that that particular IDE is open source, and that in itself is the power of open source and how people are. So anywho, to answer your question here, Communication of this particular open source part of our project has become easier. And even I have a bunch of 15 awesome partners who are supporting my work out of mere love for the WordPress software. And WordPress Engine is one of them. So it is becoming easier. And it is open source software is growing. So right now might be the right time to get into the open source part of your software engineering career.
Yeah, there's no time like the present. It sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, this traditional idea of closed software may actually be waning a little bit. And I think it's actually a really, really kind of crazy moment that, you know, through open source projects, especially, you know, the WordPress project, which we both know, you actually credit for kind of paving the way. I think that we need to take a quick break. When we get back, I do have a few more questions for you about that, especially with regard to those big enterprise companies playing. So as we return, we'll get back with Ahmad and we'll keep digging in.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content.
Hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing.
Email sales at webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
Webmasterradio.fm is the destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Engage with our panel of on-air experts and peers by following us on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can listen to WebmasterRadio.fm on air or on demand from our website or through iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get your podcasts. Interact and stay informed. Just search for WebmasterRadio.fm.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com. Let's press forward with more Press This, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to Press This. This is your host, Stephen Word, back here with Ahmad Ovais, a full-stack web developer, advocate of open source, and WordPress core contributor. Before the break, we were just discussing the nature of open source and the gravity around it and how that's kind of changing the way that software is built on the modern web. Ahmad, right before we took that break, I wanted to ask you. You had mentioned that you're now actually contributing back to a Microsoft product, and that you had mentioned that it was a couple of years back. If someone had asked you if you would ever be working with Azure and Visual Studio Code, you would have shook your head in disbelief. I think that there's like a really interesting pivot that's happening with that, and the phrase that I've heard echoed among the community before was, you know, the big boys are coming, where you have, you know, players that, you know, traditionally in the old tech world would have been closed source, like your Microsofts, your Google, your Facebooks. Do you think that they are pivoting in this way because it's beneficial for their future? Do you think that they could survive without doing so? Or do you think that they've been convinced by product efforts such as the WordPress project?
Well, that's a pretty great perspective to look at, right? But I think there is a bit of a background here. Well, for example, let's take Google, for instance. Google is a huge and giant company, and it is based on a tech stack they have built. And it used to be a cool company that was building on top of mostly closed source software. But as the company's culture grew and the time passed, they started to care more about people. like any other big company right now. They care more about people. For example, I was just in this meetup where a Googler told me that they used to have interview questions, which were puns and tricky questions, but they later found out through their data and research that an engineer that was able to answer that tricky question was not really superior or inferior than another engineer who was not able to do that. So they basically wrote off those questions just to see how people are responding to the interview process. Similarly, I just told you that open source is more about people, more about community. And these huge companies have started to realize that their software and their any kind of effort they want to push in, they need to people to back their stance. And to do that, they need a lot of community support. And that community support comes from both developers and users. And having lots of community support from developers is a big thing, is a huge thing. Apple is doing the same. Google is doing the same. So they have started to care more about open source software only because it caters a lot to the community. Community is focused at contributing to the open source software. That is why they are trying to build everything open source. For instance, Google is trying to build this awesome progressive web apps project and service workers project, which is relatable to another project that Facebook is working on. And both of these projects could very well be there in the WordPress community come next year. So that is basically how this is working. Open source is more about community, and that is where these companies want to grow. And that is why they are taking care of that part, and they are getting more and more interested in open source. And I often tell people that open source is the best technical interview. Basically, you have this engineer who is contributing, who is like kicking gas in your open source project for last 6 months. You don't really need to interview that guy or that girl.
Yeah, they have already proven their worth.
But the code is out there, and people who are fixing it, they're like easy hires.
Well, sure. You already have an entire repository of their work over the years, and it's not proprietary, so you don't have to worry about sharing secrets and that sort of thing. That actually kind of leads me into my final question for you here. I was reading an article that you published back in 2016, and you had mentioned that the WordPress project has become deeply connected to you. And that, you have a more intimate relationship with that project than any other project that you ever worked with. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
I thought you'll pick up on that. Well, there is a bit of a story here. I got married to Maida last year in December, and she is also a WordPress core contributor. She also contributes 30% of her time to WordPress. She does that in a very different way. She mostly contributes to the technical writing part of things, although she's an engineer as well. So we met 8 years ago, and I was incredibly profound of how she was managing her startup called Think Tanks, where she was teaching girls how to start to blog. And those who were performing well, she was teaching them how to start developing with WordPress. So that was incredible. And I acquired that startup. And from there, we both started to care a lot about WordPress together. We started to attend the WordPress meetups together and building WordPress community together. And from the scratch, we have built this WordPress Pakistan community. It's a huge community, lots of meetups throughout our country. So all I can say is WordPress is more than just a software to me. It has, it has helped me find my life partner.
That's an incredible story that you've been on there. It's it's not just responsible for your career or your passion for code, but also helped you find your spouse. And I know that you're not the only person with that that kind of story from the community. It's really amazing. I guess we owe open source quite a bit. I guess now in closing, Ahmad, I wanted to thank you for your time. It's time for us to get going. But I do appreciate you taking the time. I know that our time zones are a little bit different here. I'd like to thank everybody for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Ahmad, feel free to check out his blog at ahmadavas.com. We'll put the link to that in the description. Thank you for listening in on Press This, the WordPress Community Podcast. We release new episodes every Tuesday. And don't forget, you can always subscribe on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or download episodes at Webmaster Radio at webmasterradio.fm/shows/Press This. Again, I'm your host, Stephen Word. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine. And I'd love to bring you the best of the community every week on Press This. We'll see you next Tuesday.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.